And yet I trust it'll be something that'll be a blessing to your heart as well as to mine. Our last place of ministry was in a nursing home out in Bismarck, North Dakota. And we had, we would have probably 50 to 70 deaths in a year. So I would have, and there was more people coming in for rehabilitation and going out as well. So I could figure on having a new congregation about every 3 years. And so I wasn't afraid to preach this about every 3 years. And my wife, I told, has heard it so many times that I really think she ought to preach it. And but she threatens to leave me if that's the case. So we'll forego that anyway. We'll forego those family dynamics. Anyway, what do we think of ourselves? Do we, have we been built up in all that, not just body building, but ego building kinds of things that say, you can do anything? Or maybe you've had a difficult week and you feel like you've been knocked down and kicked in the teeth and a few other things, and you just, there's not much of anything you can do. Maybe you're thinking about your aches and pains. Some of us live in groups where the organ recitals are not about the musical instruments, but about bodily parts. And, or you feel like you're on the shelf because of your age, because of your disability, because you don't have the finances, because. You heard probably about the guy that said, I'd have a ham sandwich if I had some ham and bread and butter. But, we focus on those things. But today, I hope that I can help you look at this verse and see it in a new light and recognize some of the blessings that God has in mind in our lives. We have this treasure in jars of clay so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What was it God made Adam and Eve, Adam out of? What was it he did? He reached down to the ground, formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. I've got a few object lessons here to help us maybe drive that point home, that the Lord may want to say to us today. Remember the days of good Little House on the Prairie? We had the privilege of ministering in those kinds of areas out in Bismarck and, here on South Dakota, which was just the next big town beyond DeSmet, where some of the Little House on the Prairie things were written and so forth. And have a lot of stories about those things. I knew people who had been born in sod houses, and that seems like a long ways off. Well, it was, is close to 100 years away, but that's the reality of it. And but back in those days, where was it that people kept their treasures? It wasn't in the bank. The banks were liable to close, or they may not be. There may not be a bank in the town next to you, and there just wasn't much of anything. But the irony of it was, it was a little sugar bowl or teapot or something like that. Probably not as small a sugar bowl as this, but the people put their treasure in. And what was so strong about the little sugar bowl? It sure was. It would break. If you dropped it from here, probably onto the carpet, this thing might break. But the strength was the unlikely place. And Genesis chapter 2 tells us that when God created, God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. God put an investment in Adam, and through Adam to all of us, he put an incredible investment of his very himself, his very own self. He put that into Adam and said, I want you to have fellowship with me. I want you to be uniquely something that is very close to me. And Adam could be godly had he not sinned. But God put that kind of an investment of his own spirit in every one of us, living beings. And that makes us special and unique from animals and other critters and plants and everything else that people think so highly of, and they're great, but we're unique, aren't we? Very, very much unique. Well, it doesn't end there. Even though Adam fell and Eve fell and fell into sin and disobeyed the Lord over and over and over again, God so loved them. God so loved the world that he gave the precious gift of his own son and gave his son for us that we might have the gift of eternal life. Think of that. God so loved us even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't stop there. The scripture tells us that when we individually receive Christ as our personal Savior, the Lord gives us his Spirit as well to live and dwell within us and help us to live that Christian life. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us so we can serve the Lord, so we can be what he wants us to be. It's another investment God has made in every one of us. It tells us as well in 1 Corinthians 12 and in the book of Romans that God has given to every one of us gifts of his Spirit, gifts of his Holy Spirit, so that he might dwell in us and that he can serve the world and other people around us through the likes of us, the clay vessels of who we are and what we are. God's got a lot of investment in us, doesn't he? And then we think of our own stewardship of who we are, what we have, what we can do, our jobs, our places in life, and all those kinds of things. He's given those things to us. He's made us stewards of those things. And he says, I want you to use them for my glory. I've given those things. Now you use them as a good steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go on. And actually, the main thing the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is talking about is the good news of the gospel, the message of the gospel. That's good news. That's a treasure. That's something that shouldn't be bottled up and kept with us, but it needs to be given out. And that's a treasure that nobody else gives. The Lord could have sent angels with that message, but no, he chose to use the unlikely vessels of people like you and me. We have this treasure in jars of clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, the irony of it is, and the thing that trips a lot of us up, I think, is the fact that, you know, back in the old days, back in the Little House on the Prairie days, everybody was hiding their money in the cookie jar, and there wasn't anything secretive about it because everybody was doing it. And the irony was it was such a weak place, a little thing, but everybody was doing it, and it was still safe. Got some other jars here for us to think about. Anybody old enough to remember the old clay bread bowl? Any of you women got one at home in the kitchen or somewhere in the pantry shelf? The old bread bowl to make bread, or the crockery that How about pickles or sauerkraut or other kinds of things? The crocks that you were using for those kinds of things, were they highly decorated? Not at all. Just plain old crocks. Or maybe, you know, for those of us who are younger, you spent some good money on a crock pot a year or two, or got one for a wedding gift or whatever. What do you like out of that? Probably stew or baked beans or slow-cooked pork or all kinds of good things. What was so special about the crock? Not a bit. It was just the container. The container that was there to use what was going on. And, you know, my mother had a crockery bread bowl that, you know, had held some temperature to it to help the bread to rise and get it to the right temperature. And, you know, it'd go in and fill about half the bowl, but then by the time an hour or two had been spent, why, there it was heaping over. Or the same thing with, we talked to a lot of people who said, the thing I remember the most about the crock pot or the crockery bowl was that Mom would put it on the cook stove when she was doing laundry on a Monday morning and put some beans in there and just let it simmer all day. And we had beans for supper. And so all kinds of things came out of it. But again, what was the importance of that? It was just a container, wasn't it? We need to remember, and I think the scripture wants us to remember the fact that the real and eternal you is not the external thing, the container. This one's even cracked, thanks to a certain airline or two. But pots can be cracked. But the important thing is the fact of what's going on inside it. And the treasure that's going on inside of the likes of you and me. God is the master cook. He has the knowledge to know exactly what to bring into your life. What kind of ingredients, what kind of heat, what kind of light, what kind of salt and pepper and all those kinds of things to bring forth the character, what kinds of people to rub you the wrong way or the right way, to make you what he wants you to be and to help you to serve him and to bring you into that place of service where you can be even more fruitful. Somebody put it on Facebook this last week. I've seen it two or three times because it's a good saying. When you feel like you're in a dark and lonely place, maybe you've been planted there. So grow. Keep on growing in those places. You know, I know we talk about this thing of God's growth and God's work of growing in us things. And the Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good purpose. One of the things I think we need to remember is the fact that God doesn't just arbitrarily go working in our lives and you know, zap us and say, this is what's going to happen and you're going to be this whether you want to be or not. No, he's a gentleman. He's kind. He may plant you in a place, but he gives you some choices how to respond to that, how to react to that, how to work through it, and gives you the joy of seeing and finding ways to cooperate with him and to see that working, happening in some phenomenal ways. The question is, are we cooperating? Or are we, like Paul was before Christ and things, you know, kicking against the goads, the things that the Lord was bringing to point him to Christ? He wants us to cooperate and work with him. There's another treasure, and you've been wondering probably why I put a little brown jug next to the Bible. here on the communion table today, but I want us to think a little bit about the treasure of God's working through you. Many people remember these clay jugs for the homebrew, and maybe we don't remember using them or anything like that, but they have that stance, that reputation of being the homebrew. But I've known a lot of people that remember them for the container that had the drink of cold water out in the field when they were working threshing or something. In the old days, they would wrap wet burlap around the outside and have good drinking water inside. And so the guys in the field could go find this thing, and you had a drink of cool water. It wasn't real cold, but it was cooler and very, very refreshing. This particular jug was from home, where I grew up down in eastern Iowa, and it actually was a mouse trap. Now, you have a hard time realizing that, but when my father, 50 years ago probably, close to 50 years ago, had put molasses in here. He had a barrel of molasses to feed the cattle, and he had sold the cattle before the molasses ran out, and so he put it in several of these crockery jugs and put a corn cob in the top of it and stuck it up in the attic of the machine shed. Well, we tore the machine shed down, but before we tore the machine shed down, we took the jugs of molasses into the house where my mother was. Dad had passed away already then, and had them down in the basement. And then I got to thinking of this message. How can I use that? Mom's got those jugs. So she put water in them to soak up and liquefy the molasses a little bit, and I was standing at the kitchen sink and pouring it out, and then it stopped pouring, but I knew there was more in there. And so I shook it a little bit, and yeah, the corn cob came out, but after that, there was something else. It was a dead mouse. I said, Mom, the world is going to be the path to your doorstep. You invent a better mouse trap, and you're going to be rich over it. Well, it didn't happen, but not that way. Nobody's bought the patent for it. But anyway, there's a lot of things. But getting back to the seriousness of the message, the jug reminds me that God puts the treasure of His Spirit in the likes of us. Earthen vessels that we are, clay pots that we are, He's put His treasure in us. And Jesus, in John chapter 7, He said, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out from him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And up to that time, the Spirit had not yet come. But he said the Holy Spirit wants to come and wants to pour out through the likes of you and me. So God wants the treasure of his Holy Spirit, the treasure of his love, the treasure of his grace, to be poured out in specific ways through our lives to the people around about us. We're the clay pots that he wants to use to do this. There's an unlimited supply of his Holy Spirit that wants to pour through us. And I think of the treasures that have come into my life through people who have invested their lives in the likes of me, whether it be Pastor Bob Cutbirth years ago, and when I was a high school kid, and the first thing he remembers about me is, my name is Clyde Lionbeer, I'm in eighth grade, and I like girls. I was pretty shy, but he never let me forget that. But anyway, He got me at one point to leading the singing in our home church, because he had three churches on a circuit. And he, you know, would preach at the other two, and I said, I'm tired by the time I get to Hartwick. Will you lead the singing? And that helped me get started in ministry. And, you know, there's other people. Bruce Ostrom, the 4-H leader. There's Ken Benda, the hometown banker, who is like an uncle to us, that was a state senator, and so many other things that just... The practical things, the Ron Clayson, the former pastor at Northfield, who is retired there and is a grandfather to Chad Clayson, godly man, and just an incredible encouragement to the likes of me and others. Their lives have been poured into other people, and we've been the recipient of that. And we've got things that we can pour into other people. There is the treasure of our own prayers for family and people and church and staff and other people around us. There's the treasure of our testimony. Nobody has a story like yours, quite like yours, of how God is working in you or what God has done for you, or nobody has a story quite like yours. And you can share that because it may well apply to or encourage somebody else to follow the Lord. There's the treasure of your encouragement to others who may be weak or who may just plain be discouraged. And that wants to, God wants to pour it out to those dear folks. There may be the treasure of your time or just of your presence. You're being there when somebody feels alone. You're being there when somebody just feels lonely. When there may be the treasure of your listening ear. So often we want to give an answer, but more often than not, people just want somebody to listen to us. And that's a treasure that we can give and share, and it means so much to people. There is the treasure of giving for the future of the kingdom of God in our world. There's the treasure of the Lord's strength. It is a treasure. It's not our own, but we find that God can use us in powerful ways. Today we've seen some of those lessons. The treasure of God's investment in us, the treasure of God's investment of what he is doing in us, what he's put in us, what he's in doing in us, and what he wants to pour out through us. You know, we may feel like we're just a crackpot. We may, and there may be others that we look at as being crackpots, but they have something to add, to offer, to bless us with. And, you know, and sometimes we may feel like we're just on the shelf. Maybe that container that's holding the family treasures, the egg money, or whatever else it may be. And yet, what does the Lord call us? He calls us, and we call ourselves human beings, don't we? Excuse me. We call ourselves human beings, but we think of ourselves as human doings. That doesn't work. God created our world, looked at it all, said it's beautiful, it is good, but how much of our world can you grow corn on, or soybeans, or whatever else? Some of it is just good to be there, good for the beauty of it all. And God calls it good. I've focused on these truths of what God is doing in the earthen vessels of our lives. I'd like to take us on in that scripture. Excuse me. I'd like to take us on to read a little more what Paul concludes here. In verses 8 to 10, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the very life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. We may carry along, you know, that limb that doesn't work, the whatever, the hearing aids that help us to hear that what we can't hear, all those other things, we may carry those along, but we are there so that the life of Jesus can be revealed in our bodies. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Going on, 16 to 18, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on the clay pots, but on what is unseen, on what God is doing for us, in us, through us, because of his great love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your word, and for these insights today. Help us to live them out in our lives, in the week ahead and the years ahead. In your name, amen.